This week, WikiLeaks released some 150,000 documents from its trove of 250,000 U.S. diplomatic cables, the same trove that made headlines when WikiLeaks partnered with major newspapers for an initial release last fall. This time, WikiLeaks is bypassing the mainstream media, opting for crowdsourcing instead by asking its supporters to sift through the documents for good stories. This release has not made many headlines. In fact, most of the coverage slams WikiLeaks on two counts. First, because the latest release includes names of diplomatic sources, which puts those individuals at risk. And second, because a file containing all 250,000 of those cables is now available online, also unredacted. For its part, WikiLeaks contends that the file was encrypted with a password and that a Guardian writer is to blame for revealing that password to the world. Adam Clark Estes, a writer for The Atlantic Wire, explains how the password first emerged.
They published it in a book, actually, by The Guardian's investigations editor, David Lee. David Lee wrote a book about WikiLeaks and wrote about having gotten this password that gave access to all of the cables. Of course, that book came out in February. David Lee said at the time that WikiLeaks let him know the password, but also said they were going to change it.
He published it in his book in February with the understanding, he says, that by the time he published it, he didn't think it was going to be the password to anything. But is it now the password to all of this stuff that is sitting out there in public on the web?
It's interesting because WikiLeaks at first seemed to deny that it existed. They sort of pushed back on reports that they had let the document out there. But since then, they've turned back on that. And with the Guardian revelation, they've now confirmed that it does exist and that it is potentially dangerous.
Potentially dangerous because the names that had been redacted in the first batch presumably are not redacted in this source file, right? So the sources who were protected the first time around and now may be very vulnerable.
It also highlights one of the problems that a lot of people had with WikiLeaks being called a journalistic organization. They were able to skirt around that by working closely with the New York Times and with the Guardian and with Der Spiegel, because everything would essentially go through the newspaper's filter. A year ago, we had a really well-focused and powerful partnership between WikiLeaks and the newspapers. Their new approach, trying to crowdsource it, inevitably seems kind of amateurish.
When you're trying to decide whether WikiLeaks are heroes of transparency and democracy, or just reckless vandals, is it possible that the answer to that question is both?
I've been trying to figure this out, too. I've been trying to figure out, for instance, why they're lashing out at The Guardian, why they're turning on the newspapers that used to be their friends, and what exactly their intentions are. And so far, all signs kind of point to them being well-intentioned in them also being incredibly disorganized. And despite their intentions to do good, the fact that they are disorganized and inconsistent and behaving erratically is inevitably dangerous.
All right. Adam, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Adam Clark Estes writes for The Atlantic Wire.